You're listening to the Mythgreen Podcast with your hosts, Oren Ashkenazi, Wes Matlock, and Chris Winkle. There was a castle by a waterfall with a pink and purple wall and a princess living there. She had no parents and was all alone. She got by on her own and she liked it pretty well. 'Cause she never wore socks, she had a pet snake, she bought a red guitar and she ate a whole cake. And there wasn't anybody there to tell her what to do, so she did what she wanted to. Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons, Ari Ashkenazi and Professor of Political Theory in Star Trek, Kathy Ferguson.
This is the Mythgreen Podcast. I'm Chris, and with me is...
Oren.
And super special reoccurring guest...
Jonathan, and I'm so special, apparently.
Yeah, super special.
So special that this time we let you introduce yourself. That's the new thing. That's your new, that's your new title, and your new benefit that you've gained.
All the kids are doing it.
I am way into it.
So, this time we are talking about mental health system in role-playing.
It's like hit points, but for your brain.
Ooh.
But like, not exactly like them, because you don't want to take hit point damage to your brain. That's bad. Don't do that.
So here's a question. Is this a relatively new thing? Like, because traditional D&D doesn't have that, as far as I know. Or has this been around for quite a while?
Well, Call of Cthulhu is pretty old. Like, I think it's from the 80s, actually. It's been around for a while. It is certainly much more prevalent now than it used to be. And I think Call of Cthulhu is not the only one that had it. I think there are other games from that time period, but Call of Cthulhu is, like, the one that survived. So it's definitely, like, people are more into the idea of having a mental health system, and they are into doing it in a more realistic way than the way Call of Cthulhu does it.
Well, I definitely think it is preferable to have one, personally. I think it, for instance, it provides just more options for stakes when the GM is running the campaign. If a player fails, like, instead of just the only penalty you can give them is having them not achieve their goal or being physically injured, which, if they get physically injured a lot, could get old after a while. There's now, you can have mental hit points that are lost, which just gives more options. In some systems, it allows the players to sort of alter their character over time, which for players, I think, can be really rewarding. And obviously, it's just realistic.
Yeah, it just makes my character feel more like a person if they are affected by the things that happen to them. And, you know, there might not always be appropriate for every kind of game. Like, if you're playing, pure empowerment fantasy, maybe you don't want that. But in most games that I play, I enjoy having it, as long as it is like, implemented well, which is, it turns out, a fairly significant problem.
I mean, I feel like if it's done right, it can sort of bring attention to mental health issues in a positive way, because I think as a society, we're a little bit too into just ignoring mental health altogether. And that's not good. At the same time, a lot of systems have rather problematic aspects in their portrayal of mental health and mental health issues that your characters run into. And at that point, it's, you're not sure if it's doing any good.
Yeah, I'm kind of under the feeling that, for the most part, unless you are an actual mental health expert, you should generally stick to the effects of stress. Because the effects of stress are very important, right? Like, that is something that happens to everyone. And it is it is easier to depict the effects of stress in a, like, respectful and realistic manner than it often is for, like, actual, like, you know, diagnosed mental illnesses, because those are very complicated, and often the definitions of them change because the field is evolving. And so unless you are, like, a real expert, it's very easy to get those wrong, and then that can have serious consequences for people who actually have those conditions who play your game.
Not to mention, just since stress is so universally applicable to everyday real people, since we all experience stress, all characters will also experience stress as well. So just having that, it's a safe bet to put it in your game. It should see use.
Yeah, agreed. And I mean, that's like, that seems to be the direction we're going. Like, you know, we're moving away from the, even like, even Call of Cthulhu is moving away from the Call of Cthulhu style of, like, I saw a squid, and now I have, you know, split personality disorder or something. It's like, that was ridiculous, and I think they know it's ridiculous, and they're moving away from it, thankfully.
Yeah. And in particular, sort of multiple personalities is one of the most, like, sensationalized, not accurate depictions that we have in our stories, and it's like, if you're thinking about doing that, that's one of the things that, like, you should think about twice and really do your research, because, yeah.
Isn't it a dissociative identity disorder now?
It very well might be. I couldn't tell you for sure. but see, that's why I wouldn't try to represent it in my game, right?
Yeah. And I think with a lot of disabilities, like, I would personally, a lot of these, like, mental health, like, conditions are, you know, could be equated with a disability, and I would never try to make mechanics for a disability. I would let players, if they were playing a character with a disability, sort of role play that and not put it into your game, right? Which is, I think if you had a role playing system that was actually like Call of Cthulhu, some versions try to do, is actually assign named disorders, that inherently is not the right, it's gonna step on toes.
Yeah, and it's tempting because it's like people think of it as like, well, you know, if you, instead of abstract hit points, like, the, you know, nowadays for physical stuff we like to say, like, you didn't take 5 hit points, you, like, have a sprained ankle, and they're like, well, we should do that with mental health too and give them like a condition, but it doesn't, like, it, the parallel doesn't exactly work that way, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's more complicated.
Yeah. An injury has never had the same level of stigma as mental illness. I think that's one of the big things, is it's not invisible, you know, so it's like people can see it, they can easily see its effects, and, you know, it's easily understood, injuries in general. But when you get to things like mental illness and various physical disabilities that are a lot, you know, more lasting and a lot more invisible, then it becomes very questionable. To put that in the game.
One system that I really liked the way that it did this, and it was kind of unique, it was sort of a mix between like a mental health system and an alignment system. And normally I'm not a big fan of alignments because, like, you know, that trying to, like, say that my character is lawful good is often very confusing because, like, what does that mean? And am I lawful good all the time or just now? But I really liked the way Chronicles of Darkness, we talked about last week how it's Chronicles now. Mm-hmm.
Never gonna call it that.
how they call it, they have a morality level that your character has, and morality doesn't measure, like, if they're a you know, a good person by, like, the universal standards of good and evil, but it measures how closely they adhere to, like, you know, modern Western ethics, basically, because that's, you know, where the game takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And as your morality declines, you become, like, a less moral person because you do, like, terrible things, often because you need to, but that still affects you, right? Like, that still leaves a scar. And it's kind of cool. It's like a slow burn as, like, you're playing, especially for, like, a game like Hunter or whatever, where it's like, I killed a vampire, and it was a vampire, and I had to kill it, but it looked like a person. And you're like, psychologically, that's not just gonna go away, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Chronicles of Darkness rules I was reading looks like they have specifically breaking points for your character that is supposed to, and it's supposed to be unique to the character, so the players have a large deal of control over it, which I think is really important because one of the problems with, like, Delta Green and Call of Cthulhu is that, you know, it can seem really inappropriate for your character to, like, lose sanity and have something happen, depending on what character you're playing. So they have a system where you identify potential, like, breaking points for your character, and then what happens when you reach that breaking point is they have a condition system where it's not like a named mental condition, it's something that that is specified, for instance, by the GM, but then it comes with a ending condition, so you recover from it at some point. But you could have, like, a temporary penalty because you're stressed out or scared or something, or angry, if you wanted to. And then, you know, you would have a condition for do this, and then that anger, that being scared or whatever would go away.
Are these mechanical penalties that you get, or are they like role-playing sort of directions that you're angry, so you should be angry now, or are you?
Conditions are vary in how much mechanical penalty they actually offer versus flavor, but they certainly can include mechanical penalties.
Jim, do you have a system that you think is fun, that you enjoy? Like a mental health system?
Oh, a mental health... I just like systems in general. You know I love 3.5, but they don't...
Yeah, it's always 3.5.
that's always my favorite, and it will never go away. I have one that I don't enjoy, actually, and I'm going to call out Delta Green for this.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy their breaking system because you're never popular when you play it as it requests you to. I've played lots of characters that take sanity and are supposed to essentially flip out because they saw something that broke their brain, and they are just like they're scared essentially, and they're reacting in a fight or flight response. But that usually isn't great for the party, and especially if the rest of the party isn't scared. In character, all the characters are like mad at you for flipping your business, are not like super
not understanding.
Not understanding. And then out of game, like, the players are even less understanding, because obviously nothing really scary is happening to them, but you as a player are like making and I make these decisions as the player, making my character like almost crash a plane or something, or do something that's...
Hey, I loved that moment, okay? I loved when you nearly crashed my plane. That was great.
I did not feel the overall tone of the room was welcoming to my plane crashing shenanigans.
No, I'm on board with Jim for this one. Playing Delta Green, it feels like it takes control away from your character, whether or not it makes sense, and steers you in a specific direction that is actually detrimental to the team, and it's just not fun.
My complaint is less that it takes control away from me. I'm fine with giving it up. I just don't like that it's not, I think it doesn't actually work in a role-playing environment, because the rest of the in-universe team and sometimes the out-of-universe team don't appreciate, their plans being ruined by your low role. I think that's actually part of the problem, is that since it's related to sort of RNG, that sometimes characters will just like flip out on something that's not that scary, like it wasn't actually a big deal, especially if the DM is just like sort of not building an atmosphere around the thing that triggered the sanity roll. It's just like there's a spooky book and you read it and it's very spooky, and then like you start chewing your own leg off and the other players are not going to be sympathetic to this distraction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, or I mean, you make like a super, you know, badass soldier who has been through like 3 wars, right? And it's like, well, you shot a man, roll sanity. And it's like, really? I've shot like 50 men. You know, like, do I really have to roll sanity for this?
Yeah.
I will say that I do like the way that some of the things that Delta Green has for recovery of sanity points, like you can do therapy in Delta Green and other, like, you know, you actively do things to try to recover your sanity. It's not like it just goes away, and I definitely like it when games include things where you can go to a therapist, you know, and talk it out.
I like it in theory. In practice, by the actual letter of the rules, it has like some very serious problems. Like, I mean, for one thing, apparently Delta Green doesn't actually keep psychologists on staff, so like basically all of the recovery options in Delta Green are extremely ineffective. Because, and like, some of them are like a weird spiral where it's like some of them actually have you roll sanity to get sanity back, and it's like, okay, that seems unnecessarily cruel to characters who have lost a lot of sanity.
That is a weird thing, and you roll sanity to not, it's definitely a downward spiral where like the lower your sanity score is, the more you likely you are to lose sanity and the harder it is to recover sanity. And that's part of the horror element. I'm not a big fan. I can understand why they chose to do that.
Well, it's what's weird about it is that it also has the strange effect of if you start with a really high sanity, it is perfectly reasonable that you might get through the entire game without ever failing a sanity roll. And then you're just fine. You're like, yeah, whatever. I guess this doesn't bother me. And then it's weird. It, like, your character feels very strange compared to everybody else.
Yeah. And I think you know, we've kind of touched on this, but I think it's also worth mentioning that, like, it'd be nice if these point systems weren't called sanity.
Yeah.
I mean, just in spec fic and in horror in particular, there is a lot of sort of, like, using mental illness to create threat, which is really just inappropriate, and or threatening characters with becoming, you know, mentally ill. And, you know, as a threat, which is just, again, it's very stigmatizing. And just using the term sanity and having the sort of mechanics simulate losing sanity really hits on that very hard. And again, this is a horror system, so doing it on purpose, I think that's something that we need to get away from in our horror stories.
Just, like, especially for horror, you could replace it with, like, a fear-based system, and instead of, like stress and fear are what you get when you're spooked, and they incite responses that have nothing to do with mental illness. Like, fight or flight response isn't a mental illness, it's just what humans naturally do when they're presented with a scary monster.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of, like, not only is it inappropriate, it's also sort of unnecessary, because there's more accurate sort of naming conventions to focus on for the environment they're creating.
Yeah, so here's a question. Is there a system that actually has fear points or something instead of like having a sanity system where you lose sanity, has something where you gain fear points and at some point you just can't continue because you're too afraid?
I was actually going to bring up what's it called? Blades in the Dark. Which they call it stress, but you could say fear. It's basically the same thing. You gain points, and once you gain enough of them, you can't continue. Blades in the Dark, my review of it may or may not be up, and I had some very serious problems with it, but its stress mechanic is beautiful. I really liked it. It has this really cool dynamic of, like, so, like, for one thing, stress is what you gain when you, like, push yourself to do better and, like, activate some of your abilities or help a teammate. So, like, there's, like, a stress economy where, like, you can be willing to stress your character out a little bit more to get extra oomph, which, that feels like my real life, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm stressing myself out right now.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you can, you gain stress by, like, resisting injuries, so you have to make, like, tactical choices of, like, okay, is it worth, like, taking a deep cut that has, like, physical penalties, or should I, like, stress myself out avoiding that? And then it's got, like, so these really cool systems for, like, indulging whatever your character's vice is to, like, relieve stress, but, like, maybe you indulge your vice too much, and now you've got a problem. My favorite is the one where your character just disappears for a few weeks, and the next session you have to play a different character until your old one comes back. It's just very, very flavorful with the whole, like, you know, dystopian, like, grungy steampunk criminal stuff they have going on in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, the Blades in the Dark definitely provides good role-playing opportunities when it comes to the stress mechanic.
Yeah, so that was, like, that was one that I liked. I would also say that in the One Ring, actually, the Lord of the Rings system, they don't call it stress or fear, they call it corruption. But basically, because, you know, in that mythos, like, negative emotions are, like, a way for the, you know, the darkness to get into you. It's basically how the evil works in the Tolkien universe. And I think the corruption rules in that game actually work pretty well, and, like, show that your character is, like, vulnerable when they are, like, really angry or really afraid. And I think that brings across the Tolkien atmosphere pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you want to have your a game that includes, like, weird mental effects, I feel like the best thing you can do is don't try to make those weird mental effects into actual mental illnesses. Just use this speculative fiction element. It's like that, you know, your character took a weird alien drug, and now you're seeing things because that's what the alien drug does. It's not because your character has, you know, schizophrenia, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think, and again, you can always, anytime you do something that is a non-real thing that you've made up, you still want to watch to make sure it doesn't actually resemble a real thing too closely. But that's a really good way, like, if you want the more, like, fantastical mental effects, just keep it in fantastic territory and try to avoid equating it with any actual diseases that people have or illnesses that people have.
And then there's also, like, simpler systems, like the Mouse Guard Torchbearer has Afraid and Angry are conditions that you can get. And they have, like, mechanical effects, but it's sort of up to you to, like, roleplay how they work. Like, you know, if your character is afraid, that doesn't necessarily mean that they, like, run from everything. But, you know, it does mean that they are, you know, that they're suffering from something. And it can be, like, they're jumpier or... you know, their being afraid could manifest in them overcompensating and being too confident, mm-hmm. or, you know, stuff like that. As long as it, like, you know, gives you the effect of your character, like, you know, being slowly worn away by all of the really tough stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, I really like those sort of emotional conditions from the Torchbearer Mouse Guard franchise. Receiving one as a sort of compromise for completing something and becoming angry, I think, is puts a little more realism into the characters. Because a lot of times players or the characters are just sort of like... And that's what sanity and stress features are really going for, is to force change on characters as they encounter situations. And I think mm-hmm. just giving them angry, tired... scared are all really good ways to just sort of nudge players into thinking about how a situation has impacted the character they're piloting.
Yeah, and it also, like, mechanically, it gives GMs so many more options, just because, like, it allows for rolls to happen, and everyone likes rolling dice, and then, like, if there's a failure, you can give one of these conditions instead of, like, stalling the game by being like, well, you just didn't get the thing you want, right?
Mm-hmm. I'd really like to see more skills and mechanics focusing around transferring those sort of emotional conditions through various, like, either therapies or persuasion roles or something to sort of, like, turn someone else's angry into your tired. I think there's a lot of exploratory room for sort of emotional conditions that a lot of that I haven't actually seen utilized in RPG spaces. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if that is actually sort of the new innovation space that games start playing with. Since we're seeing this expansion into, like, mental health and, like, sanity and brain points and stuff. And I think that'll probably evolve into more intricate ways to mess with mental state.
You know, Jim, next time we play Torchbearer, I'm going to have to give you the alchemist skill, because you could make potions that give people conditions.
Ooh.
And it's not exactly what you're talking about, but you can throw the fear bomb and make everybody afraid.
I want to throw the angry bomb.
You can also throw the angry bomb.
The angry bomb is just a stink bomb. It smells bad and everyone gets mad.
Everyone's mad because everything stinks now. It's not great.
So I have a question about Mouse Guard and Torchbearer. So from what I understand it, You have a specific phase in which you recover from these conditions. You recover from being, like, you know, angry or afraid, etc. And if you're mm-hmm. injured, there is a surgeon skill that person can roll their surgeon skill to help you recover, mm-hmm. right? But yeah. if you're angry or afraid, don't you just, like, roll
you
yourself?
Drink.
You yeah, just, like, try to get over it or something?
Yeah, at the moment, there isn't like a counseling type skill.
Mm-hmm. I just like to see more systems, like, incorporate the modern ways that we deal with mental mm-hmm. health. And because there's a lot of stigma around going to therapy. There's a lot of stigma around taking medications that a lot of people need, mm-hmm. things like that. It'd be nice to see some games, again, have more counseling and things like that as a skill. And some of them do, but...
Yeah, I mean, Eclipse Phase does a pretty good job of that. And granted, Eclipse Phase has other problems, but its recovery rules are quite robust. I give them mad props for that.
You have a sort of a catch-22 in wanting like therapy and medications for mental illnesses in role-playing games if you also don't want to have mental illnesses, real or fake, introduced in those same games. So, but I think therapy has, like, a lot of people just have anger issues that isn't, like, a mental illness. They just don't deal with anger well. And I think you can get a similar effect by utilizing and propping up and maybe diversifying these sort of emotional statuses and introducing therapy in a positive way of, like, if your character is angry and it's making it hard for them to work well with their teammates, they're taking literal penalties to assisting, seeing a therapist will fix that. And, like, that sort that's like I think would be a real positive introduction to promote therapy in general in our sort of cultural zeitgeist. It's like if you're angry you should go talk to someone who's good at making you less angry, because being angry isn't healthy.
Yeah, I'm not sure if medications really has a role in a game where we're not using actual mental illnesses. I don't know enough about the subject matter, but certainly therapy could be included.
Yep, and so that is a good note to round out the podcast on, because I think we all want more of that. Also, I managed to get Jim to say zeitgeist, which was a personal goal of mine.
Was that the secret word? What did I win?
Yeah, you won getting to come back for the podcast, maybe, to talk about, like, women of Greek mythology, I think is what we decided.
Oh, yeah.
But, all right, so we're going to wrap it up for this week. Those of you at home, if anything we said piqued your interest, you can email us at podcast@mythgrins.com. Otherwise, we will talk to you next week. There was a dragon with a pointy tail. He was bigger than a whale, and his breath was terrible. He scared the princess when he came around. Tried to burn the castle down, but she caught him by his tail. Then she tied him to a tree so the dragon couldn't fly. She told him he was mean, and it made the dragon cry. When he finally apologized, she offered him some tea. He accepted it graciously. Now he visits every weekend with the princess who saved herself.
This has been the Mythgreen Podcast. Opening closing theme, The Princess Who Saved Herself, by Jonathan Colton.